here's an essay I wrote this year called In the Time After. I thought I'd share it with you. In the time after, the buffalo come home. At first, only a few, shaking snow off their shoulders as they pass from mountain to plain. Big bulls with heads and necks strong enough to sweep away snowpack to the soft grass beneath. Big cows attending to and protecting their young. And the young themselves, delighting like the young everywhere in the newness of everything they see, smell, taste, touch, feel. Then come more buffalo and more. Wolves follow the buffalo, as do mallards, gadwalls, blue-winged teal, northern shovelers, northern pintails, redheads, canvasbacks, tundra swans. Prairie dogs come home, bringing with them the rain, bringing with them also ferrets, foxes, hawks, and eagles, and snakes, and badgers. With all these come meadowlarks and red-winged blackbirds. With all these come the tall and short grasses. With all these come the prairies. In the time after, the salmon come home, swimming over broken dams to forests who have never forgotten the feeling of millions of fish turning their rivers black and roiling, filling the rivers so full that sunlight does not reach the bottom of even shallow streams. In the time after, the forests remember the feeling they had never forgotten of embracing these fish, who are as much a part of these forests as are cedar and spruce and bobcat and bears. In the time after, the beaver come home, bring with them caddisflies and dragonflies, bring with them ponds and pools and wetlands, making it possible for frogs and newts and fish to come home too. Beavers build and build and restore, working hard to unmake the damage that was done and to remake forests and rivers and streams and marshes into what they once were, into what they need to be, into what they will be again, into what, in the time long after, they are. In the time after, grasses and trees and other plants and phytoplankton first slow, then stop, then reverse global warming. They do this by being plants, just as buffalo bring back the prairies by bringing buffalo, and prairies bring back the buffalo by being prairies. They do this just as salmon bring back forests by being salmon, and forests bring back salmon by being forests. Cell by cell, leaf by leaf, limb by limb, prairie and forest and marsh and ocean by prairie and forest and marsh and ocean. These plants and phytoplankton bring the carbon home, burying it in the ground or holding it in their bodies. They do what they've done before and what they'll do again. In the time after, the plants save the world. In the time after, the oceans are again filled with fish, with forests of kelp and communities of coral. In the time after, the air fills with the steamy breath of whales and the shores fill with the hard shells and patient, ageless eyes of sea turtles. Seals haul out on sea ice and polar bears hunt them. If all this seems too good to be true, it isn't. Life wants to live. In the time before, there were more than 450 dead zones in the oceans. And precisely one of them recovered. It was in the Black Sea. It recovered because the collapse of the Soviet Union made agriculture no longer feasible in the region. With the destructive activity removed, the area recovered. Who would have thought it? In the time after, the dead zones in the oceans again fill with fish, egg by egg, fry by fry, fish by fish. If all this seems like magic, that's because it is. Not the magic of parlor tricks or prestidigitation. Not the magic of smoke and mirrors, distractions that point one's attention away from the real action. No, this magic is the real action. This magic is the embodied intelligence of the world and its members. This magic is the rough skin of sharks without which they would not be able to swim so fast, so powerfully. This magic is the long tongues of butterflies and the flowers who welcome them. This magic is the brilliance of fruits and berries who grow to be eaten by those who then distribute the seeds along with nutrients necessary for the new plants' growth. This magic is the intelligence of fungi working with trees and mammals and bacteria to help create a forest. This magic is the billions of beings in a handful of soil. This magic is the billions of beings who live inside you, who make it possible for you to live. How do you think the world became so wildly diverse, so wildly resilient, so beautiful, so strong? It's because animals, plants, rivers, rocks, trees, fungi, bacteria, and everyone else all work together to make it so. It happens through the magic of blood flowing through capillaries, and the magic of tiny seeds turning into giant redwoods, and the magic of long relationships between rivers and mountains, and the magic of the complex dance between all members of natural communities. It happens because these beings live and die, because how they live and die, and what they give to those around them makes those around them stronger. In the time after, everyone understands this. More importantly, everyone lives this. In the time after, there is sorrow for those who do not make it. Passenger pigeons, great auks, dodos, striped rock snails, Charles Island tortoises, stellar sea cows, Darling Downs hopping mice, Guam flying foxes, Saudi gazelle, sea mink, Caspian tigers, quaggas, laughing owls, St. Helena olives, Cape Verde giant skinks, silver trout, Galapagos amaranths. But in those who survive, there's another feeling, emerging from below and beyond and around and through this sorrow. In the time after, everyone still alive begins to feel something almost none of them have felt before, something that everyone felt long, long ago, something that recently, in the time just before, had only ever been felt by those whose lives are measured not by seasons, but by far longer spans, the oldest of the trees, grasses, fungi, some of the fish in the oceans, and the oceans themselves, and rivers and stones and mountains. And these had not felt it in a very long time. What those who come in the time after feel, and its prior absence is made all the more painful by the exuberant fullness of its presence, is a sense of realistic optimism, a sense that things will turn out all right, a sense that life, who so desperately wants to live, will continue, will thrive. This is the delicious feeling shared by those who live in the time after. We, living now, in the time before, have choices. We can continue as we are and get to where we're going, an impoverished, possibly dead world. But we can remember what it is to be animals on this planet, remember and understand what it is to live and die such that our lives and deaths help make the world stronger. We can live and die such that we make possible a time where life is allowed and indeed encouraged to live, where buffalo can come home, and the same for salmon and prairie dogs and prairies and forests and carbon and rivers and mountains. To the degree that we ourselves are alive, and to the degree that we consider ourselves among and allied with the living, our task is clear, to help life live. That's the very least we can do. After all, life on this planet gives us our own lives.